Hello again, this is Zahir, aka David, once more in my podcast about season 4 of Watchers. Okay, now I just want to talk about the different elements of things we're going to go into, going into season 4 after we decided what the basics of the overall arc. First, we did want Rowena and Willow to get married, because we figured we've had enough of the damn angst already. We've had enough. So we should, you know, rather than having them break up and get back together, that it was entirely time that they take the next step. Not the least of which because these are both slightly older women, and they'd be ready. And so that was really worked out. You know, that was going to be done. The other thing, that would lead up to what was ultimately their wedding at the very end of the season, which is just, you know, lovely. Another was that Faith had to deal with the fact she has become famous. And at the same time, she is dealing with the idea that she was brought back from death. And given her issues and problems, it's really not too surprising that this caused her a lot of soul searching. The council had to deal with the fact that they were now publicly known. Magic and the supernatural and slayers and vampires and all this such were out in the open. And so things had to, they had to deal with that. They had to have a public affairs office. They had to start dealing with, you know, the press wanting to come and talk to them. Along with this idea was the premise of the anti-slayer, which was, of course, Isabel. And exactly why was she chosen, and what was the whole purpose of it? Basically, the idea in this case was the anti-slayer worked out to be someone who negated the power of slayers. Not only did she lose her powers, but if she just, like, touched another slayer, that slayer lost their powers. And that had to be worked in. And I thought we did a pretty good job. We're finally bringing forth also the thing we've been planning for over a year, which was Helly. Helly was going to finally be revealed as a very problematic slayer indeed, because she's a sociopath. And so she's been preparing some diabolical plan of pure evil, and the writer, Drew and company had been putting clues right in front of everyone's eyes for over a year, and nobody spotted it. And just with somebody, you know, because basically nobody in, one of the reasons is just nobody in our audience evidently speaks Finnish. So we had to, you know, killing Vi, which was a terribly, terribly sad thing to do. I'll be honest, my reaction, I hated the thought of killing Vi. I thought she was a lovely person. I loved the idea of her being together with Xander. I had something to do with them coming together in some scripts and stuff. But the only reason I could come up with of why not to kill Vi for myself was I didn't want Vi to die. And dramatically, that's not a good enough reason, you know? You know, you don't want Lear to suffer so horribly, but if he doesn't suffer so horribly, you don't have a play. Who wants Hannibal Lecter to exist? But if he doesn't exist, what kind of movie is Silence of the Lambs? You know, it's pretty dull. And things like that, you just have to go forward. So, other things to be developed. Well, we certainly wanted to explore, well, Kai in particular wanted to explore some more things about Caden, and we all wanted liked that. We were going to have some other things worked out, one of which was the idea that someone was making a movie about the Watchers, and we thought, of course, that would happen. So, of course, that was the episode based on a true story. We wanted to explore a few other things. Now, one thing I wanted to explore was to bring back Faith's sister, Hope. At the same time, this would also dovetail into my idea that I just had this notion that if Faith did return, that she and Jeff would make a very interesting couple. This would solve a problem that I thought structurally we had, is that Jeff was actually, to my mind, a rather interesting character, at least should be explored, but hadn't been given something to do to be explored. I mean, he flirted with the dark side in a certain way, but not too terribly much, because, well, he had a mentor who'd already gone that path and was able to warn him off. He'd been raised basically in a far more loving environment than Willow ever did, so he had basically fewer chips on his shoulders. I think people started resenting him furiously, of course, because he was a threat to basically, not so much Dawn's relationship with Skye, although that was there too, but also I think people perceived him as a threat to Dawn's lesbianism, which is a mean thing to say. It's not mean. I mean, it's just, we know our audience. We have an investment in that Dawn is interested in girls. That's fine. I understand that, and they don't want to threaten that. And that's, again, fine. So, once we get there, then I want Jeff to have something else to do. And that's why I wanted to explore not only the fact that he would get, you know, a girlfriend in terms of Hope, because I always wanted to bring her back. I thought this would be an interesting sort of idea to bring her back, get her involved with Jeff. Also explore Jeff as a watcher with Lorinda, because we've already kind of established that Lorinda has a bit of a crush on Jeff. And so that would be an interesting dynamic to explore, because Lorinda is just an interesting character, and just reacting with her causes all sorts of interesting things. So those were the elements that we wanted to go into. And Gelf wanted to explore a whole new storyline involving Ethan. Ethan basically trying to, in effect, settle down. He's going to meet a blonde, he just want to do this, and there's this rather weird triangle that didn't work completely. Didn't quite work out the way, and so, unfortunately, you know, what was supposed to be a neat little trick about the mother and the son having very similar names just became confusing, which is what I was afraid of. But, I mean, had it worked out originally, it would have been just fine. But it just didn't work out. There wasn't a way to weave it in. So, a small hiccup. So those are the elements we were going in. Now, coupled with that were also a few very interesting episode ideas that people wanted to explore, the idea of an animated episode. You know, the whole idea of an episode about where he's drawn, you know, where a cartoon comes to life. Our characters become cartoons, which is terribly fun. Someone else wanted, of course, the idea that an episode very much like The Naked Now on Star Trek, where everybody loses control. That was Sherry's baby. She initially wanted it to be just sex, just wall-to-wall sex. And I said, well, I'm nothing against sex. Certainly, you know, the more titillating the better, but, you know, it's not much of a story. It's just a plot, what plot? So that eventually became something else. And those were the elements that were going in that we had to somehow coalesce. Now, the interesting thing is how much of this, and it was really startling and I think a magnificent thing to watch and be part of, was how much of the coalescing was not planned. It happened because we had all these ideas, and in some wonderful piece of synchronicity or synergy or gestalt or whatever you want to call it, all these came together and interwove in a beautiful little tapestry of comedy and drama and, you know, love and rivalry and all this, bringing in all sorts of characters, from seasons past, like James Tyrell and Hope Lehane. Jocelyn also coming in. Very, very interesting. We eventually brought back Lori, because I always wondered what happened to her. And partially because, well, I've always had a little bit of thing for that particular actress. Okay, I like redheads, so sue me. And it was a very, very interesting sort of group of ingredients that we were just sort of suddenly putting together and made into this delicious stew that happened, and it worked so well. For example, had a lot to do with this, and I cannot recall any kind of mental planning of this at all or discussion of it in any way, but how the mere fact, the revelation of Helly and what was happening, who she was, who she really was, what she'd done, completely changed the nature of everything that happened, because up until then, Jason Felix was trying to develop a liaison relationship, a trusting relationship, between his group, Bureau 9, and the Watchers Council. But after one of their own betrayed them and actually murdered some Slayers, the Council, reacted in a very human way. They became very paranoid. They weren't willing to give anyone the benefit of the doubt, much less their rivals. And it completely skewed how the Council would view Bureau 9, how Bureau 9 could interact with the Council, which meant how they had to go about things. That we automatically then could say, okay, well, they have to get some information from the Council, because we have to keep them interrelated, and they can't talk about it, so they're just going to have to act. And they're going to try to basically have to steal, and they're going to try to do this with as little damage as possible, which brought in all sorts of wonderful things to tie in Hope and Gwen and Diana and Grace to the overall plot, and even Ethan. It was a marvelous little smorgasbord, and it never was planned that way. It happened because I think we're just good storytellers. So strut, 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 pat us on the back. This ends part two of my overblown, overwordy podcast, which I will continue in part three.